It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along with Daniel Pryor once again today, the Sound Mind broadcast. And I don't know that we've really discussed this subject before. Well, I'll just say, first of all, hello. We do discuss
Hi,
that
Mark.
A lot.
Yeah. Hello there.
Suffering from some buyer's remorse recently on a truck purchase. But
it wasn't a new truck. I'm going to let people know that.
Okay.
it wasn't a new truck. I've never purchased a new vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Always used. And this one I just bought as a beater, just to get the Christmas tree and a couple of other things, you know, drive out here when it's snowing. But as I was saying to you, I don't do well with beaters because if there's a little ding on it, I'm thinking of maybe I should get it fixed or painted or something.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, it's going to be a real
well. Maybe you should have had an argument with your wife first about that. That's what we're actually talking about this week is arguing in marriage. How to do it well?
and I've entitled that how to argue with a positive outcome.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So there is a way to argue in a good way.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we my wife and I, we've gone at it. You know, we've kind of learned. And we still, I tell people, we probably have kind of an argument, maybe not very often, a couple times maybe a year, maybe a couple times a year. I'm talking about arguments that takes you like a half an hour to get over.
Okay.
Now, that sounds amazing to most people, but I would tell you that in the early days of our marriage, our arguments went on for days. Now we rarely have anything that hangs around for
even a half
an
hour. So you would say you've gotten better at it, or you just don't. People give in quicker or whatever. So this is just one aspect of communication, because so often people are so afraid to argue and have differences of opinions, and it just blows them out of the water.
You know, they approach it wrong, and that's what I want to talk about, is that, in order to have a positive outcome, an argument with a positive outcome, you have to start out right. You have to be headed in the right direction. And sure, I've heard people come in and say, or have read in a book, or have heard it spoken that, you have to argue. But, arguing has different meanings. And let's look at the definition of argue.
Okay.
And so it's kind of a broad definition. There are actually three different parts to the definition, or in the dictionary it will have first, second, third, fourth usage, and so there are different aspects. And so we usually go through the gamut here. So we usually start our argument this way. The first meaning would be the kind of the original meaning, is to make clear, and so that's where we start off. I want to make this clear, and then we quickly move to give reasons or cite evidence of an idea or an action with the aim of persuading the other person to have my view. So it starts off with, I just want to make clear, but we quickly move to, I want you to see it my way, and then we generally wind up with the third, which is quarrel, disagree, squabble, bicker, fight.
That's what you usually think of when you think of the word argue.
Yeah.
Is quarreling, bickering.
Yeah, so that's the progression I see it going through. It goes kind of the gamut of the definition. We first start off, I just want to make this clear to you, and then I quickly go to, I want you to see it my way, and then finally I get to, bickering, quarreling, fighting.
So it sounds like we need to stay with the first one, make myself clear.
Well, we need to get started off in the right direction. So argument, the way that we typically look at it, or the way that we typically approach it, it's at cross purposes with really the whole Christian mission, intimacy and communion and so on and so forth. Have a positive outcome. What is the positive outcome? Well, positive outcome, of course, depends entirely upon the objective, and not just the objective of the topic, but the objective of that kind of relational context of it. And we're talking about the relational context we're talking about is marriage specifically, obviously. However you want to define argue, it's very different if you're talking to some, you could one actually, make it clear that whole original kind of Latin origin of the word has to do with debate and making your point clear. And but the thing is that if we try to make that the kind of the pattern or the model for marriage, it doesn't work.
Mm.
Because marriage is not about making my point clear. And that's, I think, where people get sideways.
It's not.
We'll see. We'll see. So it has to do not simply with, I mean, if we were, if it were an argument about where we're going to eat tonight, a positive outcome would be that we finally got somewhere and had something to eat. But positive outcome in marriage, we're looking at the purpose of marriage really largely to heal us from our past, to position us for God's work in our lives. And marriage does that to us, you see. So marriage is to bring about surrender, to bring about change, to bring about sacrificial love, to bring about vulnerability, and so on. And so you can see how that if I approach argument, I mean, we're calling it argument because that's what it turns out to be. When I approach argument with the idea of making my point clear or convincing the other person that I'm right, I'm going in another direction because I'm not going in the direction of surrender and change and sacrificial love and vulnerability and some of the other things we talk about. So I thought also we might talk about where we learn to argue.
Mm.
I think sometimes we assume that it's situational. If it were entirely situational, we would all argue about the same things. But some people argue about anything and everything. Whatever comes up, it turns into an argument. And it's not situational. Some of it has to do with homeostasis. Now, homeostasis, you know, is kind of that place that we return to. I always use the illustration of trimming a boat or an airplane. I suppose you can somewhat do it with cars, but not like with boats and airplanes. The thing with if you're out in the ocean with a boat, you trim the boat relative to the tide, relative to the wind. You want to go a certain direction, but the tide and the wind are sort of affecting the boat, so you can sort of trim the boat, that is, set the rudder and things like that so that it counters the wind and the tide. Or if you're flying in an airplane, you've got the wind coming in one direction or the air traveling in one direction. You want to go another direction so you can set, you can sort of trim the rudder and trim the elevators so that the airplane holds a particular altitude and a direction and a speed. And then if you alter that, if you interrupt that, like in the airplane, by pulling the yoke back and the plane goes up and stalls and then it takes a nosedive and then it comes, but eventually it will wind up right back at that altitude, heading that direction at that speed. That's its homeostasis. Individuals and couples learn homeostasis partly by what the communication modes that were modeled for them in their family of origin. And then building upon that, different experiences that they've had and where they've learned to, some people have learned that to become more powerful is to become more verbal. Other people have learned that they can't be, you know, they're not particularly good in the verbal department, but they're big and tough. And so, you know, typically men will want, not always, but typically men aren't as verbal as their wives. And so their strong trump suit is that they want to make it physical. So instead of being articulate, they turn up the volume and maybe stand up and spread their chest a bit.
So many men too, they just shut down.
That's another way.
Stonewall.
And sometimes the women shut down if they feel like they're not going to compete. They're not going to get more physical than their husband, so they just don't communicate at all. Mm. So there are those homeostasis that we, you know. And then another factor is the whole idea of defense mechanism. We defend ourselves through argument and the way that we communicate. So we've talked about defense mechanisms starting with personalities are actually defense mechanisms. And then also building upon that relational distancing. And some couples just argue to stay apart from one another. I think that we've all heard or seen this at a restaurant or friends that we know or family members or maybe even in our own marriage where just about the time things look like they could be getting better, somebody thinks of something to argue about. And it can be the most mundane, silly right. thing. You know, who put that there? It should be here. And then an argument ensues. And it's just really, without realizing it, what it is it's a way of keeping distant, you know, instead of closing that distance. Because closing the distance, again, gets back to these things like surrender and change and sacrificial love and vulnerability. And those are counterintuitive. You know, kind of nature is to be self-centered and survive and look out for number one and those kinds of things. So the etiology of argumentativeness.
Now, again, I've never heard that term before. Etiology. What does that mean?
It's just where it begins. The roots of it. Yeah. Right. It has its roots in a family of origin. It has its roots in the whole dynamic of self-defense, which is very natural to us. Very, very natural to us. So this is what we bring into arguments, and people don't realize that. Again, as I said, a lot of people assume that it's situational. You know, we're arguing because so-and-so has the wrong viewpoint on this particular thing.
Well, now, I would think this is something that comes up quite a bit in your marriage counseling, is you got a couple who come to you at first, and they're bickering a lot, and they think it's a communication issue. But so then you would sort of sit them down and teach them how to sort like, quote, fight fair and how to argue in a good way? Because it sounds like you're not necessarily against, again, argument, but you want to have a positive outcome for argument, because arguing is part of life.
Mm-hmm. And again, we have to be, when we get back to the positive outcome depends entirely upon the objective. And so as we've talked, I think, in shows before, If people understand or agree upon a purpose in their marriage, and for Christians, we should have the inside track, and we should understand that the purpose that we agree on should be a biblical purpose, not just, you know, I was talking to a couple that, his purpose was to be financially free by a certain age, and her purpose was something entirely different, had nothing to do with finances, had something to do with affection, something like that. So if we're working at cross purposes, then, you know, who's defining the positive outcome? You know, so again, you know, first of all, to get people started in the right direction. So before we start working on how people communicate, I really try to get them to try to understand kind of the larger picture on why are we communicating.
Okay, so definitely keep that in mind.
Okay, so people want to put their pieces on the table and say, well, and as you suggested here, and as we've heard before, and indeed it's true, that there are upsides to communication. There's also downsides too. So we'll talk a little bit about the downsides, and then I want to talk about the proper approach, obviously. And this is what we work on in counseling, not how to
win an argument, but how to have a positive outcome for all concerned.
Absolutely. Yeah. Winning gets in the way of the positive outcome.
Positive outcome. Okay. Yeah. We'll discuss this more in just a moment. We're talking with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. If you are married or you know somebody who's bickering a lot and it really troubles you, they might benefit by having a session or two with Daniel. If people want to get in touch with you, Daniel, how do they do that?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com, where also you're going to find this radio show podcasted.
And many others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal, or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland this week, talking with Daniel about how to have a positive outcome to an argument. Arguing is part of being people, And we're focusing not so much on arguments between just any kind of people, but people who are married and how to fight fair, if we can use that term. But an argument doesn't necessarily have to be a fight, Daniel.
No, it shouldn't. And I was looking for a better better term than argument, but argument is the one that we that we're familiar with,
right?
And it's what we call it when it goes wrong. And so that's actually what we're talking about, is trying to correct it when it goes wrong. A lot of people, as we were talking just before the break, we have the. We have the opinion, it's not a bad opinion, that, you know, you have to put your pieces on the table. You've got to get your case out there. So we look at that argument as a positive thing. You have to break eggs to make mayonnaise. You know, you got to say your piece or, you can't discuss it and that sort of thing. But, argumentativeness has a downside because it's so often adversarial. I mean, even the argumentativeness, even that word, tends to imply adversarial communication because it's a barrier to healing, and healing implies change, and healing requires vulnerability. Change requires vulnerability. It's this vulnerability is essential for trust. You know, the question about trust is not, do I trust you to, change the oil in the car or check the tires or get everything at the grocery store or, but it's, do I trust you with my weakness? That's really the basis of trust. And so, trust is the basis of intimacy. So you see, argumentativeness is a barrier to all that. It stands in the way of the whole Christian model of marriage and what we're pursuing. Getting on to the proper approach, and so here's where we want to start with turning things around. Before you ever even begin on a conversation, and you know, you can see far enough ahead to see if this is not if this is one of these conversations that's difficult to get through. I mean, you know the hot points, and so before you even get started, before you even open your mouth. Be truthful to yourself and about yourself, because if you're not truthful to yourself and about yourself, you cannot possibly arrive at a resolution that's going to hold and be in any way permanent, because there's nothing true about it. Look at this Matthew chapter 7, 3 and 5, amazing verse here. And this is the one that talks about the beam in your eye and the mote. You know, if you see, you know, why do you regard the mote or the small splinter in your brother's eye, but you ignore the beam that's in your own eye? Will you say to your brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, and then behold, there's a beam in your eye. And it says, you hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you see clearly. Let me read that again. Then you'll see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. So this is one of those amazing verses that convinces me that Scripture is godly inspired,
yes,
divinely inspired, because is there such a genius here? If you, how did the beam get in my eye? I mean, that's a large statement. But if you take a splinter of wood and you hold it out at arm's length, it doesn't distort your perception of what's behind very much. But if you draw it closer and closer to your eye, and by the time you put that up against your eye, it's distorting everything because it gets larger as it gets toward you, you see. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's a beam in your eye, even though it might be at a distance. So the thing is, if you hyper-focus on that other person's error, you never really see their error clearly. It's only when you, because it's something in you. This is how many people approach argument, though. They're trying to initially assess the other person's issue. If you're trying to assess the, you're hyper-focusing on that person's issue, you're not even seeing their issue clearly, because that issue is such a, it's a beam in your eye. It's large to you because of something in you, not because of something in them. So that's what this scripture is saying. That's how it's a beam in your eye, you know, is because in hyper-focusing on it, the big part, the thing that's making it big, it has something to do with you. Earlier in that passage, in the first verse, you know, Jesus is starting and saying, judge not, you know, don't judge, because, you know, again, with the judgment you judge, that's how you'll be judged.
So you're contending that almost always something that you're really finding disagreeable in another person is because you've got a problem with it yourself?
Well, the dynamic of it, certainly. I mean, the more emotional I am, the reason it's a beam in my eye is because of, you know, I mean, I can see faults in other people, But the reason it becomes a beam in my eye and I'm hyper-focusing on it, that's because of something in me. Hmm. And people don't approach arguments that way. They approach it with trying, you know, with assuming that the other person has an issue. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm presenting my case, it's that, you know, if your disagreement with my case has to do with an issue rather than so how do we just real quickly, how do we judge and yet not judge? So the thing about not judging is you never want to look at a person's issue or whatever and say, I would never do that in your mind or your heart. I would not be like you. You've got a bad problem and I would never do that. Because when we start judging that way, we're entirely wrong. Mm. So here's how we want to approach. We want to be ready when we're before we even say anything. We want to be ready to be wrong. We want to be ready to surrender. We want to be ready to understand. Understand, an interesting word. When you understand, you stand under. We're familiar with the term of standing down. Standing under means I put myself under this. Now, that doesn't mean that I agree with the person or that the person's right, but when I understand, it should may have an impact on my own view of that. Do you see? Mm. I may still find it wrong, but if I understand, then what they're saying has an impact on the way I'm seeing it. So be ready to understand. Be ready to change. Be ready to learn. Be ready to forgive. Be ready to commune. Be ready to rescue. Be ready to hold. Be ready to encourage. Be ready to protect. All those things before you even open your mouth. Mm. Now, when you open your mouth, what you want to do is get out of your amygdala. And you know,
tell us again what that means.
The amygdala is that part of your brain that is fight or flight. That's where all the emotion, the defensive emotions coming. That's when our quote-unquote argument is getting adversarial. You're down there in your amygdala. When you're in your amygdala and you're performing from that part of your brain, you're not even thinking logically. The logic is all much higher in your brain. Mm-hmm. So now you're just fighting and you're not making any sense.
Mm-hmm. Total emotion instead of logic.
So how do you get out of the amygdala? Well, you ask yourself something, start thinking logically. You might ask yourself, what's the real purpose of my need to have this discussion? Is it about me or is it really about our relationship? And again, we go back to my first statement, be honest with yourself and be honest about yourself. What's my real purpose? I say it's to solve this problem, but is it to empower me? Is it for me or is it for that other person and for us?
Okay.
Will having or winning this argument have a benefit beyond my temporary feelings? Is this really matter? Does this really have a purpose beyond that? Things just to ask yourself before you open your mouth.
Right.
To the degree that the objective has to be right, or to the degree that I have to be right, I'm most probably wrong. Just understand, is that clear? Mm-hmm. To the degree that I feel the objective of this argument is my being right, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Mm. To the degree that the objective of my argument is just simply my being right. Because a lot of times we get into arguments, and what we're arguing about matters a lot less than the fact that I'm right about it. So to the degree that the objective of the argument is that I turn out to be right, that I win it, I am probably wrong.
Well, those are the things where you say you win the battle but lose the war. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot just in regular interpersonal relationships even.
Next one, why am I so emotional about this? What's the real issue? And it usually gets back to fear and shame because that's where all of our anger comes from, fear and shame. So what's all the emotion? The more emotional I am about it, probably the more distorted my view. And again, what do I need to do to surrender? What do I need to do to change? What do I need to do to learn? And all those things that we listed off before, be ready to. What do I need to do to encourage? What do I need to do to forgive? What do I need to do to, et cetera, et cetera? And then when we get past that, then we get to, of course, the communication tools. Here's where we work on things like just your timing. You know, I was talking to some people. I often talk to people and they'll say something like, well, we were in the car the other day, and he or she brought this up, or I brought this up, and I didn't like the response. And so trying to think, well, that's probably not a good time to have. When somebody's somewhat distracted,
right,
driving, changing the oil, cooking, changing diapers. When someone's somewhat distracted, it's probably not a good time to have an argument that you know it has a good chance of going south anyway. You know, so we talk about timing. We talk about tone of voice. We talk about words. We talk about body language, body posture. And those are the practical things that we do. But getting started in the right direction to begin with, and I say, before you even open your mouth, you need to go through this self-analysis, being honest with yourself, being honest about yourself, and all these things that we talked about. So, again, this will be podcasted, right, at the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. It's a great starting point for people that, you know, if you're in a marriage and you just seem to not be able to get out of the blocks in terms of arguing. Your arguments always turn, they're horrendous and they last for days and you can't get over them for hours. Like I say, my wife and I rarely anymore have an argument that I would even say, Mark, it's rare that we go 10 minutes after that we don't come, that it's not.
It's resolved.
That used to be days.
But that's a skill you have to learn. It's a communication skill.
It is, and you have to be willing to, again, be honest with yourself and be honest with, and all these things that we've. So if you're in that place and you're in that place where they last for days or hours or whatever, and you want to get to the place where they happen very rarely and you're out of it in minutes, and you're healing in
they
just minutes.
They have a positive outcome.
They
how
have
to
a
argue
positive outcome.
And have a positive, because arguing is part of life, but how to have a positive outcome. Mm-hmm. You've actually got several podcasts that have to do with communication, communication in marriage. People are past, though, they listen to a podcast, and they go, well, we need a little bit of in-person help on our communication and our marriage situation. People want to get in touch with you. How do they do that, Daniel?
Yes. You can call me at 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also have emailed me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Of course, offices in Edmonds and Kirkland.
Edmonds and Kirkland. Mm-hmm. Okay. Always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.